Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
Forgive me.
Well, the clubhouse of the Red Sox is a not fun place to be. And if you ask the Sox, they'll tell you they're at odds with their skipper, Bobby V. Now Bobby's having trouble. You see, it started when they traded Uke to the other players like Dustin Pedroia. He makes them wanna puke. And he's bad, bad Bobby V. Worst skipper in the MLB, hated more than the Yankees, and even more by you and me. And he's bad, bad Bobby V. Worst skipper in the MLB, hated more than the Yankees, and even more by you and me. Yeah, he's hated more than the Yankees, and even more by you and me.
I invented the rap.
I'm the best man for the job.
Everybody, good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program. We are in the Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985.
One of my favorite things is when Mike behind the Mike Callahan just says, screw the backing vocals, even though the words might conflict with the words that I'm singing. It's very much like when Michael Scott in The Office, the Dundies episode, was doing OPP, and he just got the original version and tried to rap over it. It was chaos.
Yeah.
I love that. He just like, you know, the karaoke version, who cares? I'll let them keep the backing vocals on there.
Yeah. He expressed the feelings of many people.
Maybe Mike behind the mic needs to make a Alex Cora cheating scandal song.
I'm not against it.
Because all of his songs are the best when it involves scandals. I mean, we of course know the one that he made about the Craigslist killer.
Do you have the Craigslist killer?
I'll have to dig it up somewhere. It's in there somewhere.
It's in there. I mean, don't we have a new system where you can figure things out?
Let's see.
There was the Craigslist killer. There was a gentleman. Was it a gentleman or a woman that was killing people on Craigslist?
Oh, it was a guy.
Okay. He was hiring prostitutes and killing them?
Yep.
Okay, because
yeah, we see.
He's the Craigslist killer.
That's right. When it was what was it? Private Dancer? Is that the song he's doing the thing on?
Tina Turner classic.
Well, you only gave me the hook. I mean,
you want long form.
I mean, it was 10 years ago. I think that everyone's pretty much knows the story by now. Do we have
Well, a man went on to Craigslist and was looking to rob someone. It was Julissa Brisman, who he shot with a gun. He has robbed before in Boston, was in debt and destitute. Robbed another in Rhode Island and tied up a prostitute. He's the Craigslist killer, killed her for money. He even tried to get away. He's the Craigslist killer, killed her for money, and in jail is where he will stay. He's the Craigslist killer, killed her for money. He even tried to get away. He's the Craigslist killer, killed her for money, and in jail is where he will stay.
So what he did is he took a private dancer for money, and he turned it into kill for money.
Right.
So not a huge leap in reference.
No, but I do believe that he should do something new about the Alex Cora situation. I think that if you do that, then, you know, he likes to write things about, I guess, things that are currently going on. This is as big of a scandal as we've seen in a while.
I would think that he should do something about the upcoming election.
Yeah, he could do that.
I mean, he's covered the sports stuff. I think he's done that fairly well. If I was him, I would go election on the people.
By the way, I don't know if you saw this, but there was a moment during the debate the other night that
I did not see it then.
Okay, well, I mean, you didn't. Even if you didn't watch the debate, this clip kind of went viral yesterday, and it's phenomenal. So during the, I guess there was this whole thing where Elizabeth Warren said that she found out that, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago, Bernie Sanders had said a woman can never win the White House. And so they talked about that during the debate. And he said, I never said that. I'm telling you, blah, blah, blah. So after the debate, there was a big to-do made that Elizabeth Warren walked over to Bernie Sanders and didn't shake his hand. And you couldn't tell what they were saying. But they had kind of some, you could tell some stern words. Well, apparently CNN yesterday released the actual audio of what they said. Now, let me just paint the scene. Elizabeth Warren walks, so after it's all done, you know how, like, you know, as the credits are rolling or as you hear the talking heads, you know, commenting on what happened, you just kind of see them all talking to each other and milling around on stage.
Right.
Well, Elizabeth Warren goes over to Bernie Sanders and won't shake his hand. And Bernie Sanders is, like, doing this, like, surprise face, like, shaking his head. Meanwhile, that guy, Tom Steyer, who's, like, who's running all these commercials.
Tom Steyer is, like, making this show, making this station a lot of money.
The two of them are, like, having this kind of heated, intense thing going on, and no one knows what they're saying at this point, but Steyer's, like, trying to peek his head. He's like, hey, you guys playing cards? You guys do that? And listen to the audio of this, okay? The first two voices, unmistakably, Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, and then the third voice is Tom Steyer.
I think you called me a liar on national TV.
What?
I think you called me a liar on national TV.
Let's not do it right now. You want to have that discussion? We'll have that discussion. You called me. You told me. All right, let's not do it now.
I don't want to get in the middle, but I just want to say hi, Bernie.
Yeah, good. Okay.
That is an SNL skit. It's like, hey, guys, you guys, go ahead.
Tom, the grown folks are talking. No, please have a seat.
It's Animal House.
Playing cards? Is this Jugdish? I mean, that's just awesome. Man. I mean, they're really intense talking to each other. And meanwhile, it's like, hey, can I get in here?
I am not going to say anything negative about Tom Steyer. All he does is advertise.
Oh, I don't care, but that's funny. That's funny, him getting right in the middle of it when there's this really intense conversation. Hey, I just want to say hello, guys. How you doing? Oh, man, it is great.
Bernie Sanders is great because he just likes to go in there and ruin everything.
Here it is. There's the video. So Bernie Sanders, she just walks away. Like, okay, whatever. Go, fine. Like, Sire's like, hey, what's going on here? It's like when you walk in on mom and dad fighting.
Yeah. Well,
I think you called me a liar on national TV.
What?
I think you called me a liar on national TV.
Let's not do it right now. You want to have that discussion? We'll have that discussion. You called me. You told me. All right, let's not do it now.
I don't want to get in the middle, but I just want to say hi, Bernie.
Yeah, good. Okay.
He just walks away, just blows up. Good. You're fine.
Maybe you don't know who I am. I'm Tom.
Can you give me a 78-year-old who just had a heart attack and really push my agenda.
Dude, everyone's old. Like, not, it was like, a lot of the frontrunners are old.
They're not 78.
Which Trump's old.
Yeah, Trump's 72.
Warren's old. Biden's super old.
Bernie Sanders does is screw everything up. He just goes out there and he just goes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to screw everything up. There's absolutely no way I'm getting the nomination. What I'm going to do is I'm going to be old and just screw everything up.
I just think that was the best.
Oh, God. I didn't realize how old Biden really was.
Yeah, no, Biden's like really old.
He's 77.
Well, yeah.
Biden only wants one term.
That's all he's going to manage, I would think.
Yeah, everyone's super old. Like, all the front runners are really
Elizabeth
old.
Elizabeth Warren is 70.
Yep.
Man.
Well, she's so likable. I'll tell you this. Is that today is my birthday, and people get upset about their birthdays. They think they're closer to death. It was talking to Wallach before the show. I mean, this is a sweet, sweet rest when you finally die.
My point to you is what? Now that you're convinced that, you know, rest is closer, you're going to live to be 100.
No.
That's just the way karma is, Fred.
No, I don't want to live to be 100.
I know that, which is why it's going to happen.
No. I want to die.
Okay, so Fred, to your point, I read this article yesterday. It's funny how the timing is. And there was a new study that just came out that said that people in developed countries reach their peak misery at the age of 47. So up until you're 47, you're kind of all right. And then once you hit that, that's when you're at your most miserable and angriest. And then after 47, I think you start giving zero Fs. You know, you kind of, things don't really matter as much anymore. It's like, yeah, who really cares? And after that, it kind of starts going downhill. But that was the study, the misery index, like the big roller coaster of misery. You are at your peak at 47 years old.
Yeah. Well,
how you doing there with that breakfast?
It's his birthday.
You know, let him do what he wants.
I'm 45. Leave me alone.
You got two more years to be really miserable. And then it's all downhill.
Good.
47.2, as a matter of fact. So,
good.
You know, it's like, you know, third or month or so.
How old are you, Reg?
43.
Okay.
But he turns 44 in April.
Yep.
Okay.
It's not that much difference between the two of us.
Mm-hmm.
Just a year. Oh, what a night I have tonight.
Oh, yeah? You got big plans?
Just me and my daughter. Because my son has baseball and basketball. So it will be my daughter and I. So I would imagine the Jersey Shore will be on television at some point. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
Well, yesterday, boy, that was fun press conference, huh?
Shit.
What? What just
happened? Dump, idiot.
I don't even know what just happened.
He dropped everything and then got very upset about it.
Okay. You're not going to eat that now, are you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
15-second rule.
Oh, yeah.
At least going to dust that thing off? What? Jeez.
It went from Jersey Shore to, and then all of a sudden everybody laughing. So.
Okay, good. No, you were talking to someone in the other room.
Don't oh, no, no. Yes, yeah, someone was talking, but when I hit the dust, so.
Yeah, you were talking to someone from the, whatever the hell the show's called. You ignore them from now on.
What?
He was talking to someone, the guy who does the phone.
Somebody
phone
came
calls.
In and, yeah. Somebody,
oh, okay, so. Okay, okay.
All right, what's going on?
All right, let's get to one of the more awkward press conferences in a while as the ownership can't just get out of their own way for the Red Sox. Yes. Really likable, these guys.
They really are. All right, we will have that for you in just a moment.
More Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
You missed. It's Toucher and Rich.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, unlike when Dave Dombrowski was fired, Red Sox brass actually had a timely press conference announcing the decision to part ways with Alex Cora.
Alex came to the conclusion that he could not effectively lead the organization going forward in light of the commissioner's findings and the ruling. And we came to that conclusion as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, John Henry, Sam Kennedy, Chaim Bloom, and Tom Werner, they all took the stage yesterday as reporters said, all right, cool. Looks like we're going to have a press conference where we can ask questions. Now, whether or not ownership actually answered any of those questions is a completely different ballgame.
John, Tom, Sam, given that the Apple Watch thing happened just a few weeks before you interviewed Alex Cora and the Red Sox, there was an understanding it wouldn't happen again. Can each of you discuss whether or not that was conveyed to Alex, if that came up specifically in the interview?
I would just like to reemphasize what Sam said, is there will be a time when we'll be able to talk about this fully, but we ask our fans to reserve judgment on any conclusions that they may reach until the commissioner's investigation is over. But we obviously took the incident that you talked about, the Apple Watch incident, very seriously, and we had communications with other personnel about that.
I'm sorry. I'm not speaking about the current investigation. I'm speaking about the interview that you would, the interviews you would have had with Alex. And I would think that would be fair game under these circumstances. Was that conveyed to Alex at that point?
Yeah, Steve, we're not going to get into specifics around job interviews or anything related to what the question that you're asking, out of respect for the commissioner's directive, so we'll leave it at that.
It was just an amazing 47 minutes of nothing. Like, on we can't talk to you about what's going on now.
On my deathbed, I will reveal the secrets.
Yeah, he didn't talk about anything in the past that really wasn't part of the investigation, but there was one thing that they definitely wanted you to know, and that was, listen, Alex Cora not fired. It was a conscious uncoupling, all right?
On Monday, within the hour of the Astros discipline being announced, the general manager and manager were fired. Within 30 hours, your manager was fired. Was there any input from Major League Baseball suggesting that perhaps moving on from personnel might be a good idea for the organization?
No.
And I'd just like to clarify one thing you said. You said within 30 hours your manager was fired. That's not accurate. It was a meeting and a collective decision to part ways on Alex's side and on our side. So I just want to stress that, and that's an important fact here.
Cool, man. Yeah, it was just like, just listen, if he wanted to stay, he could have stayed around. He just kind of wanted to leave the clubhouse for a while and just go on his own and go cruising.
He wanted space.
He did want space. At one point, John Henry was asked,
there was no door on the bathroom,
if the crew had considered keeping Alex Cora, and boy, did John Henry stick the landing on this one.
Did you consider the alternative of just waiting until MLB's Red Sox investigation before deciding on Alex? And could you have imagined a scenario where you just apologized or whatever, and you said, I mean, you talked about what an extraordinary talent he is, you guys obviously like him, just weathering the storm and bringing him back whenever his suspension's over?
We did consider, but we're not going to speculate on what would have happened if we had not acted.
Nailed it.
I just, they miss.
We would have considered. Except I forgot.
I saw you say something on Twitter yesterday, John, and you're exactly right.
They miss Larry Lucchino badly. And he was the a-hole of the group. Everybody knew it. And he, give Larry credit, he didn't care. No. He didn't give a crap about what you thought.
He was just too ethnic.
Just, he would be the guy that would be a dick to the media, and that's exactly what the Red Sox needed yesterday.
I couldn't trust him.
I just thought
he was too ethnic.
He was, so you didn't trust him. I don't know why that's the case.
Well, he was ethnic.
Okay. I just remember how he was such an a-hole. He would cut off John Henry and, of course, Tom Werner.
Before he spun into a ditch.
He would cut him off.
Wait, you're veering off the road. Let me take over here, John.
He was a fiery Italian.
Gosh. He was. But finally, Sean McAdam.
Could not be trust.
This was great because it's, I love other reporters. It's kind of funny how things have changed over the years when it comes to the Red Sox. The reporters don't even care anymore. Like, Sean McAdam noticed a pattern in some of the answers that were being given and thought he'd like to make them aware of their crutch.
Each of you has made it a point to use the phrase to reserve judgment. Does that at all suggest that some of the reporting of the investigation or your alleged wrongdoing has been overstated?
We're not going to address that. I would just say it's unfortunate that we
can't comment, but we don't have all the facts yet ourselves. We were surprised by what we learned in the previous report, but to answer a previous question, we did take steps after the 2017 Apple Watch incident. We took a number of steps to ensure that,
yeah, it seems like it.
That we didn't have a problem going
forward. I'm literally waiting for facts.
So, again, I think it makes a lot of sense. I know it's asking a lot, but it makes a lot of sense at this point to wait until the report comes out to be able to address any of these issues.
If you want
and
fans.
So I apologize in advance for any further questions, but it doesn't help to keep asking.
It doesn't help to keep asking questions. Why are you doing a press conference then?
Because everyone cares so much.
Dude, it was 47 minutes of them not answering any questions.
All people can talk about is the Red Sox. We've manipulated. Everyone cares.
and
we could have not had a press conference. And everyone would have been so upset.
You had to have a press conference. I mean, you had to.
Well, they didn't have to. They fired Dombrowski,
which was a dick move, something that didn't make them look good. But
they didn't have to have a press conference.
Sure,
no
you
one
did.
Cared.
No one cared.
After
the scandal, you had to. You got rid of Alex Cora. You got rid of your World Series winning manager.
All right. Well,
and you had to have a press conference.
If you're not ready to answer any questions, I don't think
See,
that they needed
they
to.
They
have
could one. Have answered half the questions that were asked. Okay, the ones about.
Okay.
The
Okay, if they had not had a press conference, would anyone care?
Yes,
in this room?
We would have killed them.
I think they it was.
Needed. I wouldn't.
I do.
I would have. Of course, you have to do
they,
that.
They would have been much like when they didn't face the media when they fired Dombrowski. They would be accused of not being tone deaf and not answering for anything.
Well, that Dombrowski thing, I mean, was quite the scandal.
Well, nobody. See,
no,
was,
but the idea was, the manager and the players had to answer for something that ownership did. And the same thing would have happened in spring training if ownership didn't hold a press conference this time.
Short of someone getting killed. I don't think the Red Sox have to have a press conference about anything.
I think you fire a manager, or I'm sorry, you agree to part ways mutually with a manager, especially one that won a World Series for the team 2 years ago. You have to have a press conference. And in the middle of the biggest scandal in baseball since... What, 1919? I mean,
no, since the Cardinals broke into the Astros.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool scandal.
Well, this one had bigger suspensions and is wider spread. So this is as big as it gets.
And by the way, I mean, you couldn't hear enough about that. That story went away in about 1 minute.
It did. But it also doesn't involve teams and the World Series, two World Series possibly being tainted.
I mean, this is massive.
You have to have a press conference.
I honestly think the Red Sox could get away without doing anything.
I disagree. I mean,
who cares?
We were talking about it when Dave Dombrowski was fired and they didn't hold a press conference. We thought it was a horrible move for Alex Cora and the players to have to sit up there and answer questions about Dombrowski.
I thought no one cared.
You see, I thought that was a big deal. I thought it was a dick move for them not like shielding the players from having to answer the things that ownership should have done.
Well, my point was no one cares. And I would have said that a 46-minute press conference with Sean McAdam asking questions is...
not exactly energetic.
That's true. Tom Werner, what do you think about all this? Thank you.
The fact that he said... That guy was almost a commissioner of Major League Baseball. That guy right there, Harpo, was almost the commissioner of Major League Baseball. It was him and Rob Manfred. Those are the two finalists.
Cosby's been unfairly judged.
It's like, how can you be so, like... Like robotic, even in a time like this, like half the questions they could have answered. I don't care about the investigation. As you heard there were a lot of questions about stuff before any of this was happening. The only guy that actually looked like he had somewhat of a human emotion was Chaim Bloom. You could tell that he wanted to answer a bunch of the questions, and then it was kind of like, all right, you're the new guy.
Okay, how long does this story persist?
Oh, a long time, because it's going to have a wide... Because you've heard now what's going on with Beltran. I mean, the Mets are considering getting rid of him now.
Are you talking about the Red Sox version of it or the entire thing?
The Red Sox version.
Until the investigation is over, which will be best 6 weeks based on how long it took.
And then how long is that going to be a story?
And they get a manager. How long... They're going to have an asterisk next to their World Series.
No, they're not. No one's going to care.
They already do. No one's going to care. They just suspended these guys for 2 years.
You got CC Sabathia out there saying that the Yankees were cheated. You have Bellinger talking about how the L.A. Dodgers did things the right way in 2018 so they can hold their head high.
No one's going to care.
I think they will. I think it does.
Two questionable World Series wins, people are going to care.
If they would have not had a press conference yesterday, would you have cared?
Yes.
Okay, well, then we are on a different page. I think the Red Sox, again, have overestimated the amount of interest in their team.
Dude, the front page. I mean, this is all over the news. This is the biggest story in sports right now.
Well, no, on the front page of ESPN, it's that Markelle Fultz had a good game against the Lakers.
It was pretty good, too. I mean, he embarrassed LeBron, which is you don't do when you're Markelle Fultz.
Let's go through ESPN. Markelle Fultz had a triple-double. Conor McGregor is fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Conor McGregor is fighting. Conor McGregor is fighting. Russell Westbrook to Damian Lillard.
Yes, Cora was fired 2 days ago. I mean, this is like
Hang on. I'm just going through. I'm not telling you anything. Aaron Gordon throws an alley-oop off to his backboard. Check more premium esports content in the Omen Studios. Why Paul George came to L.A. Kentucky upset at the buzzer. ML players, execs on sign-stealing Astros tarnished rep, what they knew and more. So if you scroll down, it is about the ninth story on the ESPN homepage.
But this is something that is going to continue because the dominoes are still falling, and the investigation's not done.
I think that you would have more...
if you don't think this is a big deal, I don't know
what
to tell
you. I think a bigger deal is if someone cheated at dominoes. The actual game. Or if someone had a kick-ass dominoes thing lined up where a lot of dominoes went down. Those are always nice. You get to think about it. Look at how much time they spent. It's only going to take 2 minutes for this thing to fall. Well, Markelle Fultz is the biggest story.
That's a great story, though. That is
wild. It is a good story. I didn't say it. Okay, and then I'll do this. OJB handed out real cash to LSU.
We'll get to that story, too.
Hang on. D'Antoni, rocket ship getting rocked right now. Connor predicts KO to Cerrone, but no blood. Kyrie Nets need to reach the next level.
That's a great story, too.
I'm not saying they're not. All I'm doing is reading these stories to you. You guys could very well be right. I'm not arguing with you.
It sounds like you're arguing with us.
Shut up, John. You're deaf. Edwards. Edwards-Hilaire among seven of LSU entering draft. Aussie. Hang on. This is actually a good story. Aussie open draw. Coco Venus meeting first round.
Right.
McShay's top 32 draft ranking.
Yes.
Those are the two. Those are the biggest stories.
I'm sorry. What'd you say? I couldn't hear you.
What's it matter? So much for your big story. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
How about the Celtics? January basketball sucks.
Yeah, not good. No one cares. Much like this cheating scandal. All right, here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on in the world of... sports.
Oh, January basketball.
And the Pistons can go up by 20 here. What a humbling game the NBA is.
It is. Some nights you have it, some nights you... There goes the... Oh.
Great no-look bounce pass to Andre Drummond, and the Pistons are going to knock the Celtics out tonight.
Yeah!
Celtics came back to take a four-point lead midway through the third. Now they trail by 21 midway through the fourth.
I've watched them so closely.
Wow. Yeah, the Pistons suck. They're a bad team that can't get their crap together, and the Celtics were just embarrassed by them at home.
They have that Reggie fella, the point guard.
Jackson?
Reggie Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if he's still with them anymore.
I don't know if he's still with them either.
All I know is Andre Drummond just is...
Andre Drummond...
He rebounds everything.
Andre Drummond is a slick outside shooter.
He'd be perfect on the Celtics. His range is 5 feet and in.
He'd be perfect on the Celtics.
5 feet? Yeah, maybe less.
I'm not joking that if he's not on the low block, I'm not... Okay, so if he's on the elbow, do you guard him?
No.
Okay, if he's within the elbow in the low block, like, so he's not on the low block.
You mean he's 7 or 8 feet out?
Like mid-range jumper.
No, that's not mid-range jumper.
Mid-range jumper. Do you guard him?
Maybe.
I think
he could hit 3 out of 10 from there.
I'm kind of jabbing at him at that point.
Yeah, no, you got to hedge. You got to, you know, show a little bit.
I'm hedging my bets there. I'm playing in the key.
So he's still in the paint at this point, is what you're saying?
It's like a diameter thing, you know? Yeah.
So a basketball court is a cheat sheet. So you have the elbow and then the next block, which I'm not paying any attention to. Then within the next two blocks, I'm hedging it, and I'm jabbing him.
Mm-hmm.
And then not until he gets to the low block or right before it, am I guarding it.
Well, I think you have to, if he's that close, you have to actually put a body on him, because after he misses the shot, he'll probably beat you to the rebound and then stick the put back.
John, that's different. Now, it's interesting that you said that.
Ah.
Because I'm jabbing at him, but then I'm feeling him.
I see.
And getting my ass down and trying to take his knees out.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the only way I'm committing, if I'm a coach, committing anyone defensively to Andre Drummond is if he's on the low block.
Did you see that chart? I tweeted it out that somebody made about it was basketball 20 years ago as opposed to the shot chart.
Most frequent, most frequent spots on the floor with shots.
What did I talk to Danny Ainge about last week?
I don't know.
That exact thing.
Oh.
The shot chart?
I didn't know the chart.
That is the people can't make it to the restroom in time.
Yes, indeed.
Antonio
Brown. Yeah. No, but Brad
Stevens. You know, the spray chart.
Exactly.
Brad Stevens.
That's a Dan line. Good one.
All right. You immature pieces of garbage. Brad Stevens does, in practice, he plays a game where if you take a mid-range jumper, you lose a point.
Mm-hmm.
So he only wants you taking threes or taking shots from the low block.
It almost makes you think that if there is somebody who could dominate that space, then they would be a superstar. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it used to be back in the day, or you had guys who were like experts at mid-range jumper. Just because it seems like now, because of that shot chart, it's all the three-point line and all right under the basket.
But they don't want you to take it because it's a low percentage shot.
But if you could dominate that,
the amount of
people who are being trained not to cover them at that point, at the mid-range portion.
No. There's science behind it. The mid-range jumper is, what are you hitting, John, 50?
But I'm saying if there was a guy who could dominate it would change.
No.
The point is, why take a 20-foot-2 where you take one step back and get an extra point?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe because you're not as covered. That's what I'm saying.
In today's basketball, everyone knows
that nobody takes those shots.
No, they'll collapse. It's never going to happen again. In college basketball, they hit mid-range shots. But in the NBA, it will never happen again that people take, except for Jason Tatum, will take mid-range shots. It's never going to happen again.
Well, it was a night that Jason Tatum was out in the doldrums of the mid-season basketball. They hit the Celtics. They lose 116-103. And it was a night that the Pistons shot over 60% from the floor, which was the best shooting night against the Celtics at the TD Garden since December of 2006. I believe that was a Zerbiak year.
Delonte was on that team,
Delonte, Zerbiak.
Yeah, we had just moved here. Yeah, it was Celtics fever all around.
Yeah, people wearing the bags over their heads during that season. Oh. 15 turnovers, making things extra frustrating, and at the end, Marcus Smart tried to rally the troops, but it was too little too late.
I think
this game shines a little light on just how important Jason Tatum has been defensively to the Celtics. Now they're calling a foul on Marcus Smart. Marcus tripped up Derrick Rose.
Marcus just fouled out of the thing.
He did. Well, no, he didn't foul out. Did he get kicked out?
No.
I think it's just that Brad's getting him out of the game.
Technical. Threw him out.
Yeah, now he's out. Marcus's night was over. It's just a matter of how much he was going to get paid tonight, how much was going to come out of his check. So Marcus Smart is on to Milwaukee. He is ejected with 2:23 to go.
All right.
Well, you could tell that he was right there on the edge.
Yep.
And he was.
Were you able to get rid of those tickets?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
Rich is silly with Celtics tickets right now.
Mm-hmm. I am. That I am. There's a lot of games I can't make. So
there's something called the Rafters, which if you had to take a guess who they stole that name from, what would you think it was you.
I think it was you that said that.
I don't think.
But you weren't talking about a specific area. You were talking about a player.
You know, I was talking about Bergeron, but I don't think it's out of school or entirely egotistical to say that I came up with that.
Well, listen, the people at TD Garden are fans of the show, so maybe they were listening to it. They said that is genius.
They're paying you, not me.
They are paying me. That's right.
Yeah, they should be paying me royalties. I mean, I don't want to go to any of the games, but they should pay me
maybe
royalties.
Maybe that's why. I think it's because I live in the city and I can go to a lot of them. It's just unfortunate.
They find that you're curating.
Charming. It's my boy's charm, apparently. Exactly. That's right. Well, that's the kind of night it was. A January night against a team that no one was excited to play. Here is Brad Stevens afterwards.
The transition, the paint, the cuts. We got to get way better, or we've got to handle that way better on every given night. That's not something that, you know, you're going to spend a whole lot of time on in walkthroughs and practice right now. I mean, it's game 40 or whatever, and got to run back, got to get back. So there were too many of those.
Well, hopefully the Celtics were just saving their energy for tonight, because it's a big one as they take on Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks on the road. I mean, you could just sense that. This is one of those games that was so un-Celtics-like. I mean, Kemba Watt, no one was playing with any kind of energy or any kind of motivation until that fourth quarter where Marcus Smart tried something way too little, way too late.
Do you see Smart argue a foul call that went
that
in
his
favor?
That went his way! Yeah, you're like, what are you doing, Marcus?
Well, what happened was I think Detroit had a foul to give, and it took away a dunk. It would have been a dunk when Mark, I forget who was filling the lane. Maybe it was Jaylen Brown. And Mark is like, why are you calling a foul there? That would have been a dunk. And he got teed up for it. That was the first of his two technicals.
Well, when he took his shirt off, all I got to say is there wasn't enough Kleenex in the world. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
All right, let's talk about Kyrie Irving once again, unsurprisingly, being an absolute jackass.
Yeah, it seems to be his MO. We'll be right back. .5 The Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what else happened?
Well, Kyrie Irving has returned to the Brooklyn Nets after a long hiatus, and after only playing several games, still thinks he's deserving of being in the All-Star game, because that's just the kind of guy that Kyrie Irving is. But yesterday, they ended up losing to the 76ers. And when Kyrie Irving was asked about the loss, by the way, Kyrie Irving outscored by three of his own teammates last night. Kyrie Irving, the guy who wanted to be the man. So when he was asked about yesterday's loss, guess whose fault it seemed to be? Anyone but Kyrie's.
It's transparent. It's out there. You know, it's glaring in terms of the pieces that we need in order for us to be at that next level. And I'm going to continue to reiterate it. You know, we're going to do the best with the guys that we have within our locker room now. And, you know, we worry about all the other stuff in terms of moving pieces and everything else as an organization down the line in summer. And, you know, it's just something that we signed up for. We knew what we were coming into in the beginning of the season. Guys are going down left and right for us. You know, GT's out. DJ, you know, got hurt tonight. You know, Wilson's just coming back. And then we have complimentary, you know, young guys as well that have done a great job for the last 3 years. So collectively, I feel like we have great pieces. But obviously, it's pretty glaring that we need, you know, one more piece or two more pieces that will complement myself, KD, DJ, GT, Spence, Karis. And, you know, we'll see how that evolves.
But that being said, Kyrie, what?
I mean, nothing is surprising about that quote, because he said almost the exact same thing when he was with the Celtics. But for the very first thing to come out of his mouth is, you know, there's basically going to be changes where they're going to have to be made during the offseason. Some of these guys aren't going to be here. We need better pieces. Can you imagine playing with this jackass? I mean, but you know what? They knew what they were getting. There's no surprise in this. And
Durant.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. I still think, even if, as much as I hate this guy, and as much as I think he kills the culture of any basketball team, if I was the Brooklyn Nets and I knew that I had to take Kyrie Irving in order to get Kevin Durant, I would have done the exact same thing.
Really?
See, Kevin Durant's just that good.
You've been largely mediocre to awful for the last decade, and here's your chance to suddenly vault yourself into contention.
They had a coach, or they have a coach, who created a culture where if you put the right pieces in, could succeed.
Well, I mean, it's when he's there, they're not doing too good.
Kyrie?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I would not have made that trade.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
They were getting better. I completely agree. They were getting better.
But John, I could add pieces that wouldn't disrupt everything.
But you could. But would any of those pieces be better than having Kevin Durant?
No. So it depends on your belief. Do you believe that the team as a whole is more important than having one piece?
The team as a whole is better when Kevin Durant's on your team.
No, I know that. But then throwing... Listen, if I could trade for Durant, I'd trade for Durant. But if I bring Kyrie Irving in, is that worthy of... I mean, because he's going to disrupt everything.
I also think Kyrie Irving is a great number two. And we obviously learned that when he was with LeBron James. And when you're playing with Kevin Durant,
he's also very young. He was also very young and maybe a little more humble.
And that is true. But I also think that once Kevin Durant is in that locker room, I mean, maybe this is just... But Durant, false hope.
You think Durant wants... Now, this part, Fred is right. You think Durant wants any part of that spotlight? He will hide behind Kyrie as much as he can next year.
No, but...
No, I'm saying I think Kyrie won't be that guy.
Okay, but...
Kevin Durant is... Because
Durant...
He's going to be the spotlight
Durant
guy.
Is a mental weakling.
That's
so
true.
So if I...
Off the court. On the court, okay, he's a killer.
Yes, I understand Durant is one of the great players. But if I am the coach of that team and I
Andy Atkinson.
And I have created whatever his name is. And I've created it's my birthday, shut up. And I've created a culture where they had all these new analytics and they were doing these new training things and it was working out. And then I just go, "Oh, here, Kyrie, you're not gonna do anything that I ask you to do. And you're going to influence the rest of the team.
You suck on it for a year and you wait for Durant."
I think that was the plan.
Yep.
Because you have good...
No, that's the plan.
No, you do have good pieces, like guys like Dinwiddie and LeVert. I mean, they're nice stories.
Well,
and
they're kind of good, according to
Kyrie. They won 42 games. They won 42 games last year and were the sixth seed in the East. And that's fine. And you add some pieces and you have the overall tenor of the team is good. But ultimately, I think there's a ceiling to that. I mean, you'll get to be good, but you'll never be a contender.
Okay, but there's a ceiling to that. But does that ceiling? Could you find elite players that you believe would not disrupt the organization to the degree that Durant and Kyrie Irving would?
No. You have to make a move when Durant's
the majority of great players are disruptive. The majority there are
to the degree of Irving.
Well, Kyrie's a special case. I agree.
Right.
But as we just said, if you want Durant, you have to get Kyrie.
I get why they did it. I'm not sure that it was the right move.
Well, we'll find out next year because that, to me, is going to be one of the best social experiments.
It's a huge risk, obviously. But don't forget, Durant's coming off an injury. He's in his 30s, and he tore his Achilles.
Yeah.
I mean, no one really knows what kind of Durant you're going to get next year.
Paul George, he bounced back pretty good. It took 2 years, though.
Yes.
So, I would take Kevin Durant 2 years off of an account. I mean, Kevin Durant is, the second best player in the league, if not the third best player in the league?
But again, coming off an Achilles tear, there are a lot of miles on him. He only played 1 year of college basketball.
Yeah.
It's been over a decade of hard minutes in the NBA, playing a lot of extra basketball deep into the playoffs.
He can't do one bench press.
And yeah, that's another thing. Fairly his body weak, type yes. is different. LeBron has a lot of miles on him too, but he's a physical specimen.
Yes.
He's 6'6", 260 or 6'8", 260.
Listen, speaking of
Durant's like 220.
Speaking of physical specimens, we got two of them that are about to come in studio, all right? Let's go ahead and get to the headlines.
Is Livshatz aware of what's going on?
I'm going to ask him while he's in here. So,
all right. Yeah. So we will have that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, no commercials here, just the headlines.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island, Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.